guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Say that more slowly because I'm stupid.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
With the third pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the New York Jets select Sam Darnold, quarterback, USC. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have traded the seventh pick to the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills select Josh Allen, quarterback, Wyoming.
Is the division about to change?
No.
I mean, I don't rule that out. Honestly, here's what I hope for. Can one of them turn into a half-decent player? And just one of them, and make that one of the, you know, either the Jets or the Bills, make them a viable contender. That's all. Just give us a little something. And frankly, I think it would make the Patriots better. Because to me, it's always good to have a threat from within that you actually have to plan for and account for when you're putting your team together in terms of winning the division. So look, again, they've had tremendous success, but in some of those middle years where they didn't win a championship, I don't know that the division helped them. I don't think it helped them. So whether it's Darnold or Rosen, my hope is that one of the other teams in the division actually improves and found a quarterback. And I'm not saying that, hey, he has to be Brady and all of a sudden they become a dynasty. How about just someone who can play?
Can either of these guys play, Murray?
I mean, Darnold has the attributes, but again, a USC quarterback. It's already worked out poorly for the Jets with Mark Sanchez. That'll blow up in their face again. I don't believe in him. I think he had one really good bowl game, and I think he's riding off of that. Last year, way too many turnovers.
Okay, so
and
I mean,
this Allen kid, look, I'm not going to sit here and pretend to know much about him. He apparently has a cannon. I didn't know much about Carson Wentz because he played at a school that nobody watched. So this kid coming out of Wyoming, I don't know. He looks like a quarterback, but how many times has that not worked out? The same thing just happened with Denver a few years ago with Paxton Lynch. Had all the attributes. Looks like a quarterback. Has the cannon for an arm. Who knows? Maybe it works out. Maybe it doesn't. I have to think that it doesn't because more than not, it doesn't.
Just quickly, I have more faith in the Bills at this point than I do the Jets. That's all. It just feels to me like McDermott's got some clue. They jettisoned some guys out of there last year. They became a better team for it. And so it feels to me like in terms of, because developing the player is a big part of it. It's not just about the talent. It's about developing him at that position. And so I look at the Jets. I don't have the confidence that the Jets are going to be able to develop a guy.
The other thing with Darnold.
But the Bills might have a shot.
Just real quick, with Darnold and the Jets, the reason I think Baker Mayfield to me, and reading some of these guys that are far more, that cover the league far better than I ever could, the reason I think that you had Baker Mayfield go first is because the Jets wanted him. So the Browns had interest. They knew he wouldn't be there at four if they ended up going Barkley first or someone else first. So that's why they went first, because the Jets had an interest.
Okay.
Darnold's second choice there.
Your thoughts on everything. Agenda Free Friday. Jimmy and Woburn. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Hey, I was just saying you were talking about, Sony Michel, and I'm with Murray on this one. I think that, you can put him out wide, he's going to take Lewis's spot, and he can create mismatches just like Gronk does.
Sure. Where did you get Deion Lewis from? Jimmy, do you remember how you acquired Deion Lewis?
Yeah, off the street.
For nothing. You acquired him for nothing. James White's pretty good at it, too. Remember where you got him?
Third round.
So, yeah, you want to have that in the offense? I'm not disputing that. So why do you have to spend a first-round pick on it? When you everyone routinely finds value at that position, not value, a talent at that position, in late rounds or on the street.
Yeah, but based on their board, if they loved the player and there was obvious other interest from other teams and they wanted him, then this was their guy.
Yeah, I would. It's not much worse than taking a kicker there. I mean, you need kickers too. And if your highest-rated player is a kicker, you might as well take him, right? I mean, I think the running back's not far from that, honestly. Cam and Taunton, your thoughts?
I'm with Murray. I think last night was a dream for me. Because the best part about last night, though, is everybody in this area is salivating for Lamar Robert Griffin III Jr. Jackson, who's got a completion percentage around 50%, runs more than he throws. You have two teams at him, you pass on him, and then a team trades up taking the pick after you, and everybody here gets all upset about that. It's like, that guy is going to be an epic bust. That guy's got no shot to succeed in the NFL because he frankly sucks. I'm sorry, Jimmy, he does.
So that was my favorite part of last night, is that they didn't draft Lamar Jackson, and at 31, that was the moment of truth. And there's a reason Baltimore moved up to 32. That's the spot to take a tweener quarterback because of the CBA and the way the contracts work. In the first round, if you draft a guy in the first round, you get him for a fifth-year rookie option year. If you draft someone in the second round or lower, you only get him for four, and he's gone, like
Jimmy Garoppolo.
So if they had drafted Jimmy Garoppolo at 31 or 32, they would have him for this year under team-friendly dollars on that rookie option year. So if there's a quarterback that you like who's a second, maybe even third round, or somewhere in there, but you're sitting at 31, 32, and you think that there's, you know, he can play, that's where you take him. And so when the Patriots were on the board at 31, I said, this is it. If they're drafting Lamar Jackson, this is it right here. And instead, they took a running back. Ha! Oh, how could they have made it worse? But they actually didn't. Taking Lamar Jackson would have made it worse.
See, the Lamar Jackson thing doesn't bother me at all. But like what I find,
meaning them not taking him?
Correct.
Yeah, me neither. I don't want him. He scared me.
It doesn't bother me at all. Again, if they end up taking a quarterback at 43 and it's, you know, someone who's more of a pocket passer that fits what they want to do in theory, although I think you can always change the offense for your quarterback. If they take Mason Rudolph at 43, fine. Whatever. Like, again, I'd like to see them take a quarterback in the first three rounds, although now they don't have a third round pick. So we'll see what happens. But like, I just feel like sometimes after the draft, no matter what the Patriots did, all of their fans were going to say they love the picks.
Really?
It drives me bananas.
I've never noticed that.
So I look at what the team's needs are. I'm sorry. And given the number of players that are available, you would think that they would see a guy they'd like and they might move up and get a linebacker. I don't know. They were linked to linebackers. Two of them went right before they selected. You telling me they couldn't have gone that route?
We've given away the Dunkin' Donuts prize, guys. Thanks for trying. You can call us on sports if you want. Rob and Lowell. Hi, Rob.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I want to talk about the Bruins, but just real quick, about Gronk's Instagram video the other day. Do you think that he took a shot at Belichick by saying that he's in the best shape of his life, he feels more pliable?
Yes.
You know, like...
So I don't know if it's a shot, Rob, but it's something. It's, you know, it's continuing that back and forth. But I think they've come to Jesus, so I don't know if it's a shot necessarily, but just sort of a reiteration of this is how I'm doing it now and it's working. But yes, there was something there.
Absolutely. My second point is about the Bruins, and Marshawn drives me crazy with his stupid toe drag every single time he takes it to the net. Like, you can't get fancy, like, set up in the zone, and they're not doing that.
Too cute. Too cute half the time. Got the best shot on the team, or one of them, and let a rip, especially when you're facing a questionable goalie like the guy they were just facing. Through the middle, later parts of that series, they got too cute, man.
So that Pasternak goal that made it 6-4, again, they dumped it in. They forechecked. Bergeron got the puck, and he made a pass to the front of the net. There wasn't someone trying to shift through four players or making some stupid-ass pass across the ice through three sticks. Like, just dump it in, go get it. Sometimes there is no substitute.
Mike and Methuen, go ahead on hockey.
Yeah, hey, first of all, I wanted to say, Maz, I agree with you. You made a comment yesterday about possibly starting Khudobin in Game 2. I don't actually think that's a bad idea. I thought about it in the Toronto series. But I just want to ask you a quick question, Mike. A few years ago, you made a comment about the San Jose Sharks, about they had, like, basically been eliminated from the playoffs by every team in the Western Conference. They're about to be eliminated by the next one. And who knows, before you know it, Seattle might even eliminate them next year before they get in the league. So I just wanted to throw that out at you and hear you talk about
that. I don't remember saying it, but what a great stat that would be. Have the Sharks been eliminated by every team in the NHL?
Probably.
In the Western Conference?
I mean, probably. At this stage, like it is, it's sort of like hitting a home run in every stadium.
What was the score last night? The last I looked, it was like 5-0.
Well, and I know, Martin Jones gave up 5 goals on 13 shots. Do you like Martin Jones better than Tuukka now? But that Vegas team can't lose. They're now 5-0 in the playoffs. It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
And they're not giving up goals either. How many goals have they given up in the postseason?
Bobby, Lou, like, I don't have
four?
That number. But it's, oh my God. Mike in Rhode Island on Sonny Michael. Go ahead, Mike.
It's a great pick. He's going to carry the ball 10 times a game, catch the ball 10 times a game. Belichick's not going to use him like a regular running back. And this guy's not going to triple jump into guy's face mask like Brandon Cook. And you know what? He's not going to get knocked out for a couple games when he gets hit on the arm like the other wide receiver, the lacrosse player, okay? The guy's a great pick, and Belichick is going to use that guy. Have you seen the tackling in the NFL? Look at the Super Bowl. Look at the Patriots, how they tackled, and look at how Philly tackled.
Mike, how many first-round picks at the running back position have been instrumental in taking their teams deep in the playoffs? You can work on that on your own.
Leonard Fournette, just last year. They won two playoff games and almost beat you.
There's one. Because of him?
He was instrumental to that offense.
No, he was.
It's not just Blake
Bortles. No. I thought with the game on the line in the fourth quarter when they kept turning around and handing it to Fournette, I thought that's why you draft the guy in the first round, and that's the problem. Well, we drafted him in the first round. This is our guy. This is our offense. Now it's a one-possession game in the fourth, and you turn around and you got to hand it to the guy. You got to feed the beast.
But did they win?
And the next thing you know, you gain 1 yard on 3 carries, and the game's over. Exactly my point.
Did they win 2 playoff games before that, though?
I guess they must have. Mazel tov. You got one. Give me a second one.
Okay, you got to give him Fournette.
I'll give him Fournette.
Because the whole pass game was built off of being able to play action with Fournette.
Yeah.
Or defense is loading up to stop Fournette.
Yeah, they were well-schemed.
Okay.
But I'll tell you this. You didn't have to take Fournette at fourth overall to get that impact. And when he gets hurt, you're going to be sitting there with your Schmenzer in your hand after spending the fourth overall pick on a guy who blows out after a season and a half, which tends to happen even if they are good and they do win you games, which, again, they still haven't gotten to a Super Bowl. Name me the last running back drafted in the first round who took their team to a Super Bowl. There's one that's gotten to a conference title game. See if we can find another.
Let me think about
that. Yeah, no, we've got Jarrett the intern on it. Here's Brian in Holland for you. Holland, like you're calling from the...
Like the Netherlands.
Yeah, the Netherlands. That's what I meant to say. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, how you doing? This is for the hockey guru. This is Brian.
Oh, hey, Brian. How you doing? I forgot. That's right. You're the media guru.
No, I'm the coward. You hung up on me yesterday, and then you call me a coward. But I'm here today. Where did you ever shed some light on this series?
I didn't hang up on you, and I didn't call you a coward, but go.
Well, okay. You gonna shed some light on me on the what is the prediction? How's it gonna unfold this series?
I haven't thought about it yet. I haven't gotten that far.
Right, first game's tomorrow, Brian.
The first game's tomorrow. You don't have last time.
No, I gotta pour over. I pour over all the matchups until the last minute, and then I declare.
You do.
Yeah. What about you? Who do you got?
I got Boston in seven.
I'm shocked by that.
Yeah, I'm really surprised about that too.
Yeah, law of averages, most of the series do go seven.
No, the Boston part. What particular matchup do you like for the Bruins?
What matchup?
Yeah.
Bergeron?
Against two. Line. So, like, who do you think?
Shut them down.
Yeah, right. No, well, exactly. You tell me on Tampa who you think that they're going to match and how Bergeron's going to beat that matchup.
They're going to put Ryan McDonough's line.
Very good. You got me. I didn't think you'd have it. Chris Kunitz is also there. They got some guys who can grind and get in your face. So they do. That's why Tampa's dangerous, Brian. They got guys who've been there and can do that sort of thing.
They got a couple, yeah. That's why it's going to be a close series. That's my education. See, I watch hockey for years, and I understand the game. I don't analyze just who got a tip off his skate and gets an extra assist on the play, and then that's how I quantify how good a person played.
Okay.
Who does that?
It's not all about just not... We're going to name some more players off that team? Do we even know anyone else on the Tampa Bay team?
I can name about 80% of their roster for sure.
No, Maz.
Stamkos. Can I start there? Is that a good one?
Who?
McDonough, Giardi, Victor Hedman.
Four.
Yeah.
Vasilevsky's the goalie.
Five.
I'm going to call him Komarov. It's not Komarov. Something like it,
though. He's an MVP candidate. He's close. Kucherov.
Kucherov, yeah.
Hey. There you go. Kucherov. Who am I leaving out?
Hey, Brian, enjoy yourself in Holland. And go, Bruins. Okay, babe. Let me just tell you, they are deep. They are deep. And their checking lines and their D is so much better than Toronto's checking lines and D. It's not even funny. And the experience. Again, they went to the Cup. It was either 2 or 3 years ago. I should tell you what that is. But it was either 2 or 3 years ago. They went to the Cup. This coach, a lot of this team... And so they've got experience, they've got speed and skill up front, they've got 3-4 really good D, they've got grinders and sort of third, fourth line guys that have been there, done it, et cetera, they are a formidable team. So we used to be pick it and stick it on this show because prediction radio is, I think, dumb. I just think it's dumb. It sort of ends the conversation before you even get there. Like, you pick the Patriots in the middle of a big game, and then anyone who calls and says, well, what about Jacksonville's running game? Well, it doesn't matter, Pat's going to win. Next, because that's what happens. So when you start predicting, then you get to a prediction and someone calls and says, well, what about the other team's pass rush? Ah, it doesn't matter. Pats are going to win. Next call. And there's no conversation. So you got to leave it open and discuss what might happen here, what might happen there.
Sure.
I don't like the Bruins in this series. How could you?
Oh, I'm not saying anything. No, I don't want to upset Brian and Holland and his wooden shoes.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Blend force trauma to run him right down their throat.
Felger.
I'm a hypocrite.
Mass.
Who cares?
Felger and Mass. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
They enter to Horford. Hand to Tatum. Coming strong on the baseline. Scored in the foul.
Great play then by Al. Pick and roll. Pick and pop. Rebound. And then what he did, gathered. Good drive then by Tatum. And he used that length of his really to jump over Brogdon, who was there, but not enough.
Giannis drives strong into contact, flips it up and in.
Good play.
Under the shoulder of Baines. Great recovery and a great finish to the third quarter for Milwaukee. A 13-4 run after the Celtics had tied it. Giannis drives in the paint. Here's the crazy step back from the free throw line, and he hits. And that is otherworldly.
Yeah. I mean, great defense.
80-75. Giannis is just everything they say he is. Baines comes up with the offensive rebound. Got to Morris for three. Got it. It circled the cylinder, sat there for a second, and then gravity pulled it through. Offensive rebound. Adetokounmpo landed and throws it back up and in. And the Bucks are closing in now, up by 8 with 3 minutes to go. Adetokounmpo against Ojeleye. 8 on the shot clock. Giannis puts it to the floor. Pulls his way to the dotted line. Here's the step back. Got it. A superstar performance tonight for Giannis in Game 6 with the season on the line. We go into the final minute. And if this is the final night for NBA basketball at the Bradley Center, it was a memorable one. And the clock will roll down and hit triple zeros. And a series that really could have ended no other way is going to a seventh and deciding game.
The result is that our guys get to experience a game 7, which, again, we didn't want. But, you know, that's a game 7 in TD Garden is, you know, what you play for. It should be what you're, you know, most excited about, what you work for all summer, what you work for all year. It's a blast.
I mean, it's tough. It's tough to win on the road in general, especially in the playoffs. But, I mean, we got a great opportunity to go back home and try to close it out at the house.
Agenda Free Friday, Celtics thought. Here it is. Green Teamers, this is a direct message to you. This is a direct statement to you. Don't let Milwaukee win on Saturday. If you are a Green Teamer and a listener to this show, of which we have many, it's one of our great juxtapositions. We can be negative, and I grew up really hating your team, and that still carries over. So we are sort of anti-Green Teamers, but the Green Teamers listen. So I'm telling to this crew, who are huge Celtics fans, but listen to this show. Don't lose tomorrow. Don't lose tomorrow. Don't let me pull out Bango the Buck from my pants and do that thing. Okay, so that's one thing. But also don't give us the ammo of having your game-changing coach having lost playoff series to the Atlanta Hawks at home and the Milwaukee Bucks who have 1.5 good players, maybe, at home. Don't give us that ammo. Don't give us that ammo. Don't lose at home to the Milwaukee bleeping Bucks after losing a couple years ago at home to the Atlanta bleeping Hawks. Don't let that happen. It's not going to be pretty. That's my Celtics take.
Boy, it was shocking last night that Antetokounmpo got 23 shots, scored 31 points. Like, to me, again, this series has been unbelievably predictable.
Don't you hate these NBA playoffs?
Unbelievably predictable.
These kind of series that go just, it's just home court. You know, Brad Stevens, genius, Semi Ojeleye, on Giannis, he only took 10 shots, and Brad's figured it out, and he got his adjustment. No, maybe he was just home.
It is amazing how much it really does matter, how much home court does matter.
Oh, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Like, that was so predictable last night.
This is why I pay attention to regular season results, Rochi, because it's all that matters. I mean, and it's not, but I really hate those NBA series where it really just is, well, they're up, the other team's down, it's on the road, well, let's go home, we'll get them the next time, and they do, and it's a 7-game series where only the home teams win. It's like, well, what do we... I heard Beatles say this earlier. He's so right. If it's going to be like this, make them 5-gamers.
Yeah. They really should be.
Or 3-gamers. If this is all it's about, then just condense the thing. It's just, if it's so damn predictable, like you and the Bullets last year. So, like, until you beat Milwaukee or the Bullets on the road, have you really done anything?
No. And again, game 7 at home, I'm sorry, you should win it.
Well, they better. And I still find it inexcusable for them to lose this series. I don't care if they have Antetokounmpo. He's been playing out of his mind. He's the best player in the series. What you got out of Marcus Smart last night, like, that's what frustrates me with this guy. And I know he's basically playing with one hand. But as good as he was in Game 5, he was as bad last night in Game 6. So what, he gets the green light to shoot now? And how much hero ball from him and Morris and even Rozier?
Rozier, too.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
He finished 1-for-11. Like, that was awful last night.
And you know what? And the quality of shots that they were taking in that game, particularly in the middle of it. You have guys taking fallaways, not even hitting the rim, not even coming close to making.
Right, does Jaylen Brown need glasses? Does he have a depth perception problem? Did you see him at the line?
The free throws?
Oh my God.
Unbelievable.
Like, I could do that.
Unbelievable.
See, I think, now look, I can't speak for the free throw line, but to me, this is the problem with the Celtics. What have they been under 104 the last 5 games? Or something like that in this series? Three of the last four?
I've just tracked home road. That's all I need to know.
But when Milwaukee wants to play defense, the Celtics can't score. And this is the problem when you don't have Kyrie or some guy who can create his own shot. Not really. I mean, Brown has done it at points. But really, this is it. If you play up on them right now and you pressure them, they can't score.
You want a prediction, Jimmy? I know you want predictions now.
I just want opinions.
The Celts are going to blow them out. The Celts are going to blow them out.
I don't believe that.
I do.
I don't either.
And if they don't, I'm just telling you. Don't let it happen.
I don't think I'm leaving the Garden until like 1 a.m. I expect a double overtime game.
Green Team Nation, don't let it happen. Don't lose to the Bucks, but don't, more importantly, give Maz and I the ammo of having Stevens not have one real road playoff win of significance. That was a good win in Cleveland last year. I'll give you that. But just going home and home with the Bullets and the Bucks and losing to the Hawks in the first round and losing to the Bucks, and I don't care who's hurt, losing to the Bucks at home.
See, I don't need the ammo. I know what the league is.
Oh, it's going to help, though.
You do understand that Doc Rivers, the year that he won the championship, they didn't win a road game until the conference finals in Game 6, and that was a way better team.
Different, but I'm not comparing coaches. I would tell you that Doc Rivers, as good, as sucky as he is, has the same impact as Brad Stevens, which in that league is really, at the end of the day when it counts, minimal. So that's what how I would answer that. But, you know, there was a home-and-home series against Atlanta in the first round of the year you won the championship. I think that's sort of a special circumstance. I think, you know, if Game 7 was in Atlanta that year, the Celts would have won. You know, they just would have. It took them a while to figure it out. And then they went home and home with Cleveland, which is hardly any crime with LeBron James there. And then they won road games in Detroit and sort of showed what they were, and that's what it took. You know, until you start winning on the road in the NBA, what are in the playoffs? What's the dip? You know, like everyone wins at home in the NBA playoffs.
No, to be a championship team in the NBA, you got to be able to win on the road. I mean, you have to win on the road. And, if you go back to 08, I think they won 3-6 in Detroit to win that series, right? So look, eventually they figured it out. But this thing is like, after Game 5, was there any question that the Freak was going to take over and take 25 shots?
Most predictable thing ever.
Again, he took 23. I said 25. Sorry, I missed by two. Okay, like it was a given. It was a given that it was going to go that way. You knew it was going to go that way.
Murray's right, though. His pre-series analysis, that Milwaukee team does like to shoot the three, and they can't shoot. How many giant seven-footers do they have who stand? And I know that's the league, but we got like three or four of them, and they really can't shoot. They're not that good at it. And they keep chucking them. And this Bledsoe's a real loser, Drew Bledsoe. If you lose to this collection of losers and bums, don't let it happen. Don't let it happen. Don't let it happen. And it won't. It can't, can it?
It can.
That guy sucks, if you ask me. I don't want anything to do with him ever in a Celtic uniform. Bledsoe.
Oh, loser.
Nothing to do with that guy.
John with Marcus Smart last night?
Yes.
Loser.
Tool bag.
A total tool bag. Okay. Again, don't let it happen.
Felger and Maz.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Maz.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5.
The Sports Hub.
Mike, I'm not saying you got to like the pick. I'm saying you got to change your argument, because since 2012, only two quarterbacks have won a playoff game, Blake Bortles and Andrew Luck. And the most successful quarterback in that time frame is Russell Wilson, who was the third round. And, oh, by the way, a backup just won the Super Bowl. So you can't – I'm not saying you got to love the pick, but your argument stinks.
So it's also useless to draft a quarterback up high. I mean, I would say to you that teams overvalue it, meaning in terms of we have to get one, so we have to go up to the top five to get one, and there's a high bust rate.
But you said it was one of the two most important pieces, and I understand that. And if it is, and if you have one that's established...
Oh, hold on. You're trying to tell me that the quarterback's not as important as I'm making it out to be?
No, what I'm saying is, if it is as important as you say, and you have one that is established, and you only have him for a couple of years, shouldn't you do everything you can to surround him with the pieces he needs? Whether it's only for 3 years.
Yeah, but my point is, Pete, that you can get that running back, if you feel a talented running back helps Tom Brady, you can get that from the middle of the draft, you can get that from the street, you can get that from the CFL, you can get that from your practice squad. It's been proven over and over and over again. So I don't even think the position's that important. I really don't. It's a disposable razor. I think it's more about the passing game. And if your backs can catch, then I think that's a back that I want. But you sure as hell don't need to draft one in the first round. And I've just been, and I'll argue this all day. I think we're going to be arguing it for a couple of years. So the running back thing is the thing that bothers me the most. Maz has a new thing that's bothering him about today.
Okay, so they acquired Trent Brown from San Francisco for a third-round pick, right?
Trent Brown is what?
Trent Brown's a right tackle. Okay, right tackle. Trent Brown is up at the end of the year. So you gave up a third-round pick for a guy who's got 1 year left.
So they actually swapped third and fifth, I believe.
Okay, so again, I mean, I don't put all that much value on the fifth. But nonetheless, you gave up number 95 in the draft for a right tackle who's got 1 year left and is fat and out of shape.
Yes, I'm in Baz on this. I don't like this.
Like, now look, I know it sounds like I'm panning everything.
This, okay? This reeks of Coney Ealy all over again. But a third round pick for a guy that's like fat and out of shape.
Or Brandon Cooks. You're trading a first round, a high draft pick for someone who has 1 year of team control left. And the Rams, the stupid Rams who drafted Gurley, bail you out with that Cooks trade. If there's no one to bail you out of this trade, you've just spent a third round pick on a guy who's got 1 year of term.
I to me, this one makes no sense at all. Again, the guys that got in the draft, okay, if they're first round talents, they're first round talents. Philosophically, I don't understand what taking a running back, and I don't like a tackle who's built like a guard, but nonetheless, especially when your defense sucks. But the worst of the lot is a number 95 in the draft for a fat, out of shape tackle who's got 1 year left. Now, I know the scouting report on him is allegedly he's potentially one of the best pass blockers in the league, right? Like, he's a really good pass blocker. Great. So you're going to have to sign him, ultimately, on top of it, if he can play. But it feels like the price was not cheap.
Absolutely not. You know, does that feel like value there? Does that feel like a steal? I would say no.
I mean, I feel like the 49ers are taking Belichick and bending him over and spanking him. That's how many bad deals are you going to make with them?
Sam and Southie, go ahead, Sam.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good, Sam. What do you got?
The key matchup, game 7 tomorrow for me, is Al Horford versus Giannis. If he squares up, you look at the early game, if he squares up his shoulder and takes it to him, he gets him in foul trouble early, it works. If he sits around the top of the key and jacks threes, and on defense, if he's opening up the gates like the Kentucky Derby for him, this series is over for him. So I just want to know your thoughts on...
Okay, fair enough. I'll get to that. Let's just piggyback a couple Celtics calls together. Steven Newton, go ahead, Steve.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I called you last week, and I said that I didn't think that the current Celtics team that was going into the playoffs was a top eight team. And I thought that they'd be lucky to beat the Bucks. I hung up and Naz laughed at me. I think that's kind of funny that they're probably going to lose since the three best players in the series, I think, are on the Bucks. And secondly, are you upset that they didn't pick a quarterback so Maz can't sit there and say that Brady's afraid
of
a backup quarterback?
Wait. But you think the Bucks have the three best players in the... I mean, give you one.
They definitely have the best two.
Hold on. Green Teamer.
I'm not a Green Teamer. I actually called you last week to tell you you guys were Green Teamer by saying that they were going to win the series.
Do you think Boston fans would take Middleton over Tatum or Brown?
With Boston fans, or are we watching TV? Antetokounmpo and Middleton are the best two players on the floor that I see.
So you think Middleton, if we're drafting the series, the first two are Bucks?
No, not drafting. Watching this current series,
Got it.
Are the two best players on the floor.
Got it.
So, am I right?
I don't believe so. I mean, I think Middleton's a nice player, but I think Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are better.
They're both 20.
They're both 20, which, fair enough. Hey, I've been trying to say this. Kids don't win. Like, but no, you got... You know, you hate the Celtics.
If we're just talking this series, he's got a case. I mean, Middleton's been able to shoot it from all over the floor.
Oh, so wait a minute.
I agree
with Murray.
Are we going to justify the Celtics losing to this sad
No.
Yes,
no,
I am.
No, we're just having a discussion as who the best players have been through the first six games, and honestly...
Oh, well, no, but that's not the argument. I mean, you could say that someone's outplayed someone for six games. Who's a better player? Middleton or Jason Tatum?
Can we have some nuance here? Are we talking for the future? Who would I rather have?
Nope, for one season. This year, right now.
No, Brown.
Thank you.
Middleton's been the best player on the floor in this series.
Okay, but that doesn't mean he's better than that player.
No, but he's good.
Might be outplaying someone.
He's better than Brown and Tatum right now.
He might be better today.
Yes, he is better today.
Oh, so now you're going to lose to a better team?
No.
That's rich. To protect the coach, I'm not talking to you.
Oh.
I'm talking to Jimmy.
You are a magician.
I'm talking to the Green Teamers, but that's what you're doing there by saying, well, actually, they got the best three players, so what do you expect? You're protecting the coach.
Celtics should win the game at home.
They're going to blow them out.
They should win the game
at home. They're going to win in double overtime.
They're going to blow them out.
They're not.
Which they, Jimmy? The Bucks?
You'll have to do that on your time.
Pick it and stick it.
I never realized Boston fans were such babies. Across the board, babies.
I would never say that about Bob and Easton. Bob, what do you got for us on the draft?
So I want to make sure I have this all correct here. So you guys have this little skit they've been running where you have, you know, Forrest, Felger, Gump hold the board, and then Beavis and Butthead throw markers at it. Because you want to prove how dumb draft talk is and how you know, champion the fact that you hate draft talk and you could care less.
Yes. Pre-draft talk.
That's right.
Pre-draft talk.
That's very good.
So I'm accurate. Okay. Yeah. But then the day after the draft, you guys expect me to take seriously what you guys, your criticism of the Patriots, who they picked, the position they picked, and trades they make, and I have to take that seriously. When you have zero knowledge or nothing, you this is the most fraudulent.
See, again, when someone disagrees with someone, they say you haven't done your research. Have you done your research, Bob? Tell me the last running back. Tell me, Mr. Research. You haven't done your warts. This is the simple thing to say when you disagree with someone. Well, you don't know what you're talking about.
No,
Bob, I'm asking you. Give me the last first-round pick at running back to lead their team to a Super Bowl. Tell me.
What does that matter, though?
What do you mean, what does it matter? I'm not talking about the individual player. I don't know Sonny Michael from Michael Corleone. I could care less. What is three cone is? He's maybe a fabulous player. I'm talking about the position, which I do know a lot about, the position. Tell me the last time someone was drafted in the first round at that position who led their team to Super Bowl. You tell me, Mr. Research.
I'm pointing out to you that you're telling me that it's a bad pick because it's running back. It doesn't matter when the last time a running back was drafted and they won the Super Bowl.
Oh.
What I'm saying is, this is like you guys or me trying to pick the Kentucky Derby winner by throwing markers at the horse and saying, yeah, these are who are going to win.
Pretty much.
And then they don't win, and now I'm going to criticize the jockey. What you guys are saying, and by the way, have you done your homework on the guy they just got today from San Francisco?
Again with the homework. He's got 1 year left. I don't care if he's Jonathan Ogden. He has 1 year left. You've given up a high pick.
So they resigned for less money they would have signed Sol before, and they have him for another 3 or 4 years.
That's different. You could do that as a free agent and not have to give up a draft pick if you just wait a year.
So now he's Nate Solder?
Well, this is the whole point.
Solder?
He's right. I don't know this player from anyone. I don't know him from Adam. So let's just say he is. He's great. He's Nate Solder. He has 1 year of team control. So you either have to pay through the nose to keep him when you could have not given up a draft pick and just waited for him to become a free agent because clearly he's on the outs in San Francisco and just signed him for nothing, meaning no draft picks out the door, next year.
Yeah, see, my issue is not whether the guy can play. It's what they paid for him.
Thank you. And my thing is not Sonny Michael. It's running backs.
They gave up the number 95 pick in the draft for a right tackle who was drafted in the 7th round, has 1 year left, has turned into a good pass protector, but came in fat and out of shape.
Can I pay off your question that you had for Bob and Easton so you can yell at me?
It's perfect.
It's Marshawn Lynch.
Okay, drafted what year?
In 2007.
11 years ago.
He was still a first-round pick. Answers your question. He was a first-round pick.
You had
a running back.
Right, and I could give you Dallas...
Ezekiel Elliott?
Not Zeke.
Emmitt Smith?
Emmitt Smith. But if I go back 30 years, sure, we keep going back 11... You had to go back 11 years. And I would still contend Seattle did not win with a running back. They won with their defense. And they could have, they held, what was the score of the Super Bowl?
40-8.
Yeah, they could have Mazet running back that game, and it wouldn't
have mattered. Something like that, anyway.
That team went on defense. But I'll give it to you just because I'm fair. I'm a fair person.
Very magnanimous of
you. So I'll give that to you. So Marshawn Lynch, 11 years ago. 11. So you had to go back 11 years.
But it did happen.
Correct, yes. And so did the Chicxulub meteor that wiped out the dinosaurs. That happened. We can go back as far as you need to find something that justifies. But if you have to go back 11 years, I can prove my point, not yours.
So I would say to Bob, Bob and Easton, too, because I do like Bob and Easton.
He's a loyal customer.
No, he is. He is. And I find him entertaining. And just because we disagree doesn't mean I can't appreciate his contribution to the program. But I will say that, Bob, just because I say something about the draft after the fact doesn't mean that you have to take it seriously, my friend. You can take it however you want.
Long commercial free segment is next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Mass.
Have you heeded the league's advice and told Marshawn not to lick any more people?
I have not yet. I bought him some Mentos and told him to have at it, so what the heck, it's a good storyline. But
what can they do?
They have Marshy's hotline. I'm sure if they want to give him a message, they can give him one.
But what's the rule?
What rule did he violate?
Exactly. If he does it again, what's the punishment?
I have no idea on that one. That's an interesting one, but... I don't know. You got me there. I really don't know. Marshy's always got something up his sleeve, so I'm sure he'll have a good comeback for this if the league has reached out to him. But hopefully he doesn't get himself in any trouble. I told you this before. If this is the worst he does, we're all happy here, right? Because we've known Marshy go the other way. So I thought it was funny. You know, it gave the league some publicity, so I'm not sure what they're all worked up. The other guy didn't seem to be that worked up about it. Their player.
He enjoyed it. Did he practice that? Is that something that he works on in Brighton? Mm.
Well, he likes Bergie a lot. We could ask Bergie.
You thought there was a shot in there, Mass?
Just a little one. You know, they got Marshy's hotline. As if to say, he's been in enough trouble with the league. They dial him directly at this stage, don't you think? He didn't pop 9 times for crying out loud. I would hope they'd be able to reach out to him directly by now.
Do you have any problem with the league saying you can't tongue people?
Not really.
According to Marshan, they didn't.
Yeah, Marshan denied it. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, look, I think they should. You can't, I mean, I'm not saying to penalize or suspend him for what he did. I'm just saying going forward, if that becomes like a trend and guys are tonguing each other and like sticking their tongue down each other's ears and stuff, like that's not, I mean, I don't know. I just don't think that that's what they're looking for.
I think it's funny.
Of course it's funny.
I mean, I think it's funny that they had to reach the point where they had to say, could you please stop licking the guy?
Awesome. Back to your phones on Agenda Free Friday. Dan and Newton on the NHL. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, guys. I was just wondering if you noticed in the hockey playoffs, the two best teams points-wise in the East and the West are playing each other in the semifinals, technically.
That's right. And I have no problem with it. Do you?
I do. I think they should mark them 1 through 8, just like do through a basketball, and have them play it that way out.
I like them going 1 through 4. And when they get another team, I think the wild card goes away too. I think the whole reason they did the wild card is because there were
there was a discrepancy in odds in terms of
There were 14 teams in the West and 16 here or something. It wasn't even, so it was easier to make the playoffs in the West than the East. So to average it out for the Eastern teams, they said, well, you don't have to make your division. But once they have 4 divisions times 8, right? I'm sorry, I'm doing Felgram. Did I already screw something up?
No, like I said, there was a discrepancy in odds in terms of getting into the playoffs.
I heard it. It's not like I wasn't listening. I knew I did something wrong there, but I was listening. When they go 4 divisions times 8 and they all have 8 all teams in them, I think they're going to be no more wild cards. So it's 1 through 4 in your division, and I like it. I think it builds great rivalries, and yep, some years you're going to be in a good one. Some years you're going to be in a bad division. Sometimes in some eras you're going to benefit from it. Some eras you're going to not benefit from it. And that's just the way she goes. And I think it's sort of cool that it's going to be you and Toronto here for several years, it feels like. If Montreal ever gets their act together, like that's a good thing to keep having that and have those repeated playoff matchups.
I mean, to me, this is the way hockey has to do it. It's not like they have the national appeal of basketball where you can just say line them up 1 through 8 and we know who all the players are.
That's a good point. In basketball, it's just the opposite. I would love that if they go 1 through 16.
No, you want to breed the biases and the regionalism in hockey. You want to breed that.
It's good, Master. That's right. Jay and Clinton on the draft last night.
All right, Felger. I've been waiting a half hour for this. So I got some information that's going to support you, and it's going to go against Murray. You guys still there?
Yes, absolutely. I'm waiting to hear it.
I'm against the pick as well. I think you can get a running back, dime a dozen, like you say. Murray, you compare this guy to Kamara from the Saints?
No, Jones did that. I say he's more like Kareem Hunt.
Okay, where was Kareem Hunt taken?
I don't know. He's like a third or fourth round.
So how come always
year?
Everyone accuses me of not having the knowledge?
Well,
I'm the one that
last
knows
year?
What's going on. He was the 86th pick.
All right. And anyways, Kamara was like in the third round.
Thank you. 67th.
So I disagree.
Kamara was 67th. Hunt was 86. You can find, yeah, you want to say those are special difference making players? Maybe. Fine. I'll give that to you. You don't need to draft him in the first round.
I was looking for like a hybrid, you know, linebacker, but I agree with Felger on this one. It's just a bad pick.
It's just the wrong spot to take that position. There's just too many of them floating around in the middle of the draft and on the street to do it there. When you look at positions like corner and tackle and pass rusher and D-line, the good ones, you know, the trend is that they don't come from all over. Every now and then you may find a diamond in the rough, but for the most part, those positions are drafted highly for a reason. You can't coach the speed you need at corner or the size and speed you need at tackle and like da-da-da-da-da. Running back.
Yeah, but if you were to redraft last year's draft, would Kamara and Hunt have gone as far down as they did?
No, I wouldn't.
Absolutely not.
I would never take those guys in the first round. I mean, they're good players, but I wouldn't. I'd wait to find my Deion Lewis off the street. He's always there.
I'll tell you what, I'm starting to buy into this theory that McDaniels is calling the shots. I didn't know he was behind Maroney.
The last time they drafted a running back, Lawrence Maroney, and I'm trying to find it for you exactly, but I remember when I was covering it. There was some connection there between Maroney and McDaniels. And then he brought Maroney to St. Louis, I think. Or Denver, or one of those. He brought him along. So Maroney was a McDaniels guy. When McDaniels was in Denver, you know who this genius drafted in the first round?
I do know.
No Sean Marino.
Great. Good job. That's another guy who went to a Super Bowl if you want to put him on your list. Suck, suck, suck. No Sean Marino.
In fact, I will. He's another UGA product.
Yeah, no, definitely. Mm-hmm. That's great.
I think he had a 200-yard game against the Patriots here.
So other than against you, he sucks.
They lost.
And was useless. So Josh took him in the first round, too. I wonder about this. Dakota and Braintree, can you do this in a minute?
Oh, God.
No, I can't do this in a minute.
Then I can't take you. I only have a minute. I'm not going to hang up on you. You're going to have to just wait your turn.
Felger and Mass. The Sports Hub.